Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. And we have a panel here I'm going to introduce. It'll take me 10 minutes or so. Introduce all our spokespeople here. Brain Trust, Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Wow, good morning. I've always wanted to belong to a brain trust. But I've never been trusted to belong.
They pay out well. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
G'day. Good to be here. G'day.
It's g'day from Australia or Nova Scotia?
I cross all borders.
Oh, you're a globalist.
He's a globalist.
Fred the globalist. Ray yes. Pritchard. How you doing, Brother Ray?
Hey, I'm doing great. Tim, how are you this morning?
What have you been doing for the last 2 months?
I have been out and about. I was teaching a couple of weeks ago. I was teaching during this hour, teaching Hebrews by Zoom to some students in Uganda in Africa. And then last week I was speaking at a retirees conference in Oregon, but back in the saddle.
But so you actually physically went to Oregon?
Physically went to Oregon. Put on my mask, got on the plane, flew to Oregon, you know.
That's exciting about Uganda. That's a heavily Christianized nation, isn't it, Uganda?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I was teaching young people who come from all over Africa to a Bible Institute there and did the book of Hebrews in about 10 hours. And Ed, it was fun to get into this Melchizedek stuff.
That's
right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Who appeared out of nowhere.
That's right. Who is this guy? No, had a great time. It's fun, Ed, as you know, to teach the Bible when you have young people who are eager to learn, and
oh,
that's what
nothing
I had in
like
that
it.
Class.
Nothing like it. Some of the worst experiences of my life and some of the best experiences of my life have been with young people.
Yes.
Because you get the eager ones. The worst situation is the stone-faced young people.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
you just go, are you listening to me? Nowadays, of course, they're on their phones. You can tell they're not listening.
That's right. Right. They're not even trying to hide
right.
it now.
Now let me ask you this: Did those students in Uganda there to teach you listen to you teach the book of Hebrews? You said
right, Hebrews.
Is that an English speaking country?
Yes, it is, and
primarily.
Yes, primarily. A lot of tribal languages, obviously, there. A lot of African languages. But it was Uganda was a part of the British Commonwealth, right? So English is the common language there in Uganda. There's a French-speaking part of Africa, and I wouldn't do as well there. I'd have to have a translator there. My French is very
well,
very
good to
small.
Have you back.
Thank you.
All right, Fred, what's leading the news this morning?
Well, I thought we should give an update on our lead story from yesterday, that being the problems with Colonial Pipeline. That's the pipeline that feeds a lot of the Northeast from the Gulf Coast. As we reported yesterday, some bad characters in some of the former Soviet Union countries planted some ransomware, that's what it's called, into the system that this Colonial Pipeline uses to distribute oil and gas along the eastern seaboard for the most part. And as we said, ransom is what's behind all of this. Basically, they hold companies hostage, the people who devise these ransomware, and they want money or they will basically shut down your IT system that runs in this case, the pipeline. So where we are this morning with this, the company is saying, Colonial is saying they hope to have the problem rectified by this weekend. They hope. Hope being the operative word there. Now, as we predicted yesterday, it's causing a certain degree of panic. From Conway, North Carolina, there were pictures of long lineups. Remember the gas station lineups going back to the Jimmy Carter days? Kind of reminiscent of that. People getting their gas tanks filled up because they're worried because some of the speculation was that gas prices are really going to spike. And in some places, they've already gone up 6 or 7 cents a gallon in the last 24, 48 hours. But that's where we are this morning. As I say, Colonial is saying that they were able to actually stop the ransomware early on. They discovered this last Thursday or Friday, I think it was. And so they believe they kept it from getting into their main IT pipeline. So they believe they can correct the problem. Otherwise, the federal government is also stepping in. They're investigating this. The FBI says they know where the ransomware gang is heading out. That's gang is the term that they were using. And so they know who they are, how they'll be able to stop them in the future. No one knows. They're looking at alternative methods of getting oil and gas into those eastern seaboard states in particular. We mentioned yesterday that the federal government removing the restriction on truckers. They can drive more hours to get more oil into those areas, perhaps more trains moving oil into those areas from other parts of the country, even barges, although barges would be very slow from the Gulf Coast. So That's where we are this morning. As I say, Colonial saying they're hopeful they can get this resolved by the weekend.
Well, and the thing about this ransomware is reading an article about this is that you have to kind of go do a deep check. I don't know the technical way of saying this. You have to go deep with it to make sure they don't hide additional traps.
Yes.
So that once you close the front door, you find out they're in every room.
Yes.
And these ransomware folks, they'll say, you can't operate your pipeline or we'll hold all your information, all your data until you pay off. And it's an organized crime kind of faction, I think, that was responsible for this. But
it works.
It does.
Ray, it works right. Around the world for people. I've read about hospitals being victims of ransomware IT people would better understand this than your average person, but they infect these people are able to hack into your system. For example, a hospital that has thousands of people's personal data, records, financial, so forth. And then they say, unless you pay us X number of dollars, you're not going to be able to operate.
Right.
Unless you're like this pipeline, which maybe they can overcome it themselves, but a lot of times these businesses, organizations, entities, Ray, they go ahead and pay the ransom.
Well, you hear about these hospitals who have paid the money, schools that have paid the money,
right?
Because they don't have the hospital or school wouldn't have the resources necessarily that this pipeline company has. Have we heard two questions? Have we heard what the ransom demand is, and if the company plans on paying it or not? Have they said anything?
First question, I guess, or to answer both questions, there were a few lines in a few of the stories I read yesterday. The indication is that the federal government, at least, is not saying whether it's been paid. The fact that they're not saying that leads me to believe there's a real possibility the company has paid at least some money up front already.
Okay.
And you'd have to believe, wouldn't you, Fred? We're not talking thousands. We would be talking a demand in the millions, presumably. Yes. Some enormous amount of money.
Yeah, these bad characters often kind of want to put out there, they're like Robin Hood. They say they give the money to charity.
Right.
I'm highly doubtful.
They say they give a percentage of it, to charity. That's to make them seem altruistic. Let me ask you a question, Fred, and this is something I have not really been able to figure out, because there are pipelines that run crude oil to refineries,
yes,
and there are pipelines that run gasoline to customers who then truck it out to gas stations, right?
My understanding, this is coming from, this is gas coming from refineries on the Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And it's being shipped through these lines.
Okay.
Houston area, I think. Houston, Texas.
Okay.
But, gasoline.
Yes.
Gasoline.
That's why they're running out right now in some places in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. I went and filled up last night.
I've filled up a couple of times since this weekend. So,
you know, go ahead, Ray.
I just have another question. What does it say about the ability of this group? Presumably that this company that owns the pipeline, they should have had some highly sophisticated system, right? So what does it say about the security of all of the American infrastructure systems if a group of thugs, and I don't know, are they saying it's connected with Russia somehow? Fred, is that what they're saying?
Joe Biden was asked that question. President Biden was asked that question yesterday. He said he has seen no evidence of the Russian government being involved with this.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how they know exactly where it comes from. That's interesting to me. It seemed like if you're going to be sophisticated enough to carry out an operation like this, you would be able to cover where you're coming from, too. But I guess, I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Knowing that you're going to be tracked down immediately by the FBI, for example.
Well, these hackers, not the same group necessarily, they've hacked into the federal government.
Yes,
sure.
I mean, so listen, young people out there, if you're wanting a safe career track, okay, you need to go into computers and IT and especially this
learn
kind
to hack.
Of thing. Well, learn to protect.
Is this a career recommendation?
Either learn to hack or learn to protect from hacking.
Right, one of the two.
Because that is going to be huge as more and more of our life is controlled by computers. And I think the case with groups like this, again, I have no idea what Colonial Pipeline, you know, has in terms of their IT department. But I know that there are a lot of smart people that are in IT, even in the government. But the bad guys are always a step ahead, and they're always trying to learn what new methods are being employed to circumvent your defenses.
Well,
so it's back and forth.
I still want to raise the question, Tim: how safe are any of the systems here in America if these people, whoever they are, if they could break into the Colonial Pipeline system?
It doesn't make me feel good.
I know.
Doesn't make me feel. They can break into everything, but they can't break into Dominion machines. I'll tell you right now.
Right.
They're the most protected voting machine.
Yes.
It's a joke, right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
A joke.
Right.
I don't need to be sued by Dominion. Okay. So one other thought on this. If I'm a criminal who is going to hack into a big company and get ransom money.
Right.
I'm already on the path to hell.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not giving squat to charity. I'll tell you that right now. What is that supposed to buy them, get them off the hook?
I don't think these people are thinking
about
God.
They give it to
God.
The Red Cross. Do you need to apply? How do you apply?
Like Robin Hood?
I think they're wanting. Look, I think they want to make sure they keep support in the rest of whatever the dark web or the rest of the computer world, because then they could come looking for this group. I'm telling you, these are a lot of smart people out there. I don't think they have any concern at all about where they're winding up when they die.
Yeah.
This isn't to make amends with God.
Okay,
this is,
maybe I went a little too deep there in my analysis. Huh?
It could be.
I've done that before.
You have?
Overthink things.
Yes.
I get accused of that a lot, you know, half since I was in 10th grade.
Right.
You're listening.
You're overthinking it, Wildman.
All right, Frank Turek's with us from North Carolina.
You talk got about someone who overthinks things.
You got gas up there, gasoline in your tank there?
Do you have gas?
Well,
that's a low-down
let me tell you, my wife says I'm the 29th largest supplier of natural gas in the world, just behind Zimbabwe.
And a lot of hot air, too, right?
That's right. I got it all.
A lot of hot air. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to seeing you guys in a week or so.
That's right. You're going to be in Tupelo with us. We'll be
a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah, a couple weeks from now. Frank will be – he'll be speaking at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi on Sunday the – what is that, 23rd?
Yeah, I think it's 23rd.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Right. I go there.
Yeah. Well, you'll be learning more about that.
I'm excited.
You were supposed
about
to
Frank.
Preach, but – Frank's preaching now.
Listen, I gladly step aside for Dr. Frank Turek.
And he's going to be at our studios here. I'm sure he'll be sitting here with us, too, as well, recording a video for us. So we look forward to seeing Brother Frank. All right, so what are you going to talk about? Go.
Well, I came across this article by Wayne Allen Root the other day, and it's titled, "Here's How You Know Democrats Rigged and Stole the 2020 Election." And he starts out by saying, suppose you had video of a cop shooting an unarmed black man, and he wasn't doing anything wrong. It was quite obvious the cop was wrong. And there's even body cam footage. And you'd say, okay, well, this guy appears to be guilty, right? We're gonna charge him with a crime. But what if the cops cover it all up and they say, not only are we not going to prosecute this guy, we're going to fire anybody that talks about this? What would we say? We would say, well, this is an outrage. This is an injustice. They're trying to cover something up. And what Wayne Allen Root says is, well, that's exactly what's going on, it appears, with the 2020 election. There's videotape of what appears to be, at least at first glance anyway, voter fraud, and nobody is investigating it. And those that are trying to investigate it are actually being shouted down and told to shut up. And people that try and put stuff online that says, hey, we ought to look at this, they're being censored. Now, why is that going on? That's my question.
Well, are you talking about Maricopa County out in Arizona where they're trying to do this audit?
Not only that, but you remember the videotape there was of people pulling ballots from underneath the table after everyone had gone home in Fulton County, Georgia. That was on video. You've got the people in Michigan putting up, it was either Michigan or Philadelphia, putting up cardboard so viewers couldn't see, observers couldn't see what was going on. That was actually in Detroit. You've got the strange ballot dumps in Michigan of 149,000 votes at 6:31 a.m. on November 4th, 96% of which went to Biden. You had the same about 149,000 votes for Biden at 3:12 or 3:26 to 3:44 a.m. on November 4th. I mean, there just appears to be a lot of smoke here. And what's going on is nobody in the mainstream media, they not only not want to talk about it, they will shout anyone down who does want to talk about it. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, you want to answer your own question? You're going to leave it out there.
I'm going to leave it out there. Actually, here, I want Scott, you know the guy who did Dilbert, Scott Adams?
The comic strip.
I don't read comics. That I try to stay serious.
They're over your head, Ed.
he's like a gunslinger.
Well, you asked for it.
You always think you can outdraw him, right, but you can't. All right, you win. Go ahead.
No. I'm saying he's actually, I don't know if he's a libertarian or conservative, but he had a tweet on May 7th. Here's what it said: fake news investigative method. And here it is. You can prove something doesn't exist by not looking for it in the right places. You can prove something does exist by trusting anonymous sources who are known to despise the person they're talking about. So obviously he's referencing the whole Russiagate thing.
Just from that tweet, I'm going to go read Dilbert.
I had somebody explain to me, I don't want to revisit the whole election situation because we covered that in depth, about the irregularities that went on with the presidential election. But I had somebody I highly respect who explained to me how this could have been done without cheating. And that is, in these swing states, which everything came down to, I didn't personally think it was going to come down to Georgia. I thought the Republicans would win Georgia 3 or 4 points. Trump would, but anyway. And maybe he did, right? But it came down to Pennsylvania, Michigan. We knew Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin were going to be
close.
But after Trump won Ohio handily and then won Florida handily, he was cruising, man. All he needed to win was like one or two of those. And he was winning in those states till middle of the morning. But anyway, that being said, this gentleman explained to me, he said, what happened was, if you say, okay, everything was fair and square in terms of counting the votes, is that all the absentee ballots that went out in these states by the millions, none of them were disqualified. They were all counted.
Right.
And when you typically have, 3 to 5% of absentee ballots are disqualified, because they don't have a signature on them, or they don't
wrong date or something.
Wrong date, or the person who signed it is not the person that is said to have voted. There's all kind of reasons why they are discounted up to 3 to 5% on a normal basis of absentee ballots. Well, all of them were counted, and so they all went to Biden for the most part. So anyway, that's water under the bridge. Good point. Go ahead,
Tim. I was going to say, I think that's part of the problem. People are saying it is water under the bridge, and nobody's checking into it.
Well, I wouldn't say nobody's checking into it. They are out in Maricopa County. They're trying to.
Right.
The Republicans out there. In Georgia, they fixed the law. But I don't think that's going to happen again in Georgia. I don't know what they're doing in Pennsylvania. I think they're trying to do the same thing in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, that they have Republican state legislatures trying to fix it where this doesn't happen again. But
okay, the question, though, is if it did happen, and again, you have to check into it to see if these allegations are really true, and no court wants to take it. But if it did really happen,
if what did really happen?
Ballots were brought in the middle of the night that were illegal. People were counting ballots out of the view of observers. The Fulton County thing was a big one where they're pulling ballots from under the table. That was all on video, right?
Well, there was an explanation for that, whether you buy it or not. I did hear the fellow in charge of the election over there, and he said, if I remember correctly, he said basically what happened was the state election official, at 1 or 2 in the morning, told everybody go home, all the workers.
It was a fake water main break at 11 p.m.
Put everything up and go home. Mm-hmm. And then but there was some miscommunication. And then they said they came back a few minutes later and said, no, the main boss says they need to keep going. You know what I'm saying? So somebody overrode somebody. So
I don't know what really happened. The point is that when people don't check into it,
right.
And you have people out there in Arizona now, I guess Democrats resisting subpoenas.
Yeah. What are you trying to hide?
Materials. Yeah. Why are you trying to hide it if there's nothing to hide?
I agree. I agree totally. Why are you trying to hide it? And I also resent the fact that an honest investigation of things that appear to reasonably need to checked out, and then as you say, your point and the gentleman you're quoting from his column, you say, well, this needs to be checked out. This needs to be reviewed. There needs to be an audit. And the other side, the mainstream media, and even some rhinos say, oh, you're nuts, man. You're into conspiracy theory.
Right.
I guess you believe in Bigfoot, too, right? And I say, yeah, I do. What's a big deal? I believe in Bigfoot, okay?
Can you imagine if the roles were reversed, if Trump was in office right now, and Trump was the one that had all these advantages that came down in the middle of the night?
We wouldn't have a country. We'd be looking at a smoldering America.
Smoldering CNN would ruins. Day 206 of the election fraud,
No, you're right. Absolutely, that would have happened. Absolutely. Okay, Brother Frank, give us your website.
Crossexamine.org, crossexamine with a D on the end of it, .org. See you guys here Saturday, 9 Central, 10 Eastern.
Okay, and we'll be telling more about your visit to Tupelo, those who want to come out and hear you speak in person. See you, Frank. Take care.
They go back to reading Dilbert.
If I can understand it.
Cut off his mic.
The Far Side.
Cut off his mic.
The Far Side is the best cartoon.
Or Calvin and Hobbes.
Calvin and Hobbes. Yeah. That's the one with the cat and all that.
Oh, Tim.
I'm sorry. My bad. Just embarrassed myself. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. No matter your career goals, you want to find a university that provides excellent academics and state-of-the-art facilities at a price you can afford. At Liberty University, they believe a quality Christian education should be available to everyone. That's why they've frozen their tuition rates through the 2021-2022 academic year and offer multiple scholarships, like the Middle America Scholarship, to bring that price point even lower. Learn more by texting STARNS to the number 49596. Republicans are on the verge of making a very serious mistake. House Conference Chair Liz Cheney is expected to be replaced by New York lawmaker Elise Stefanik, Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama.
Well, I know Elise Stefanik pretty well. She's a very nice lady. She's a very intelligent lady, and she's about as far left-wing as you can get in a Republican conference.
Family Research Council President Tony Perkins says the very future of the conservative agenda is at stake.
Someone who, you know, voted with Trump less than three-quarters of the time is not one I think that should be in a leadership role.
Cheney is infected with Trump derangement syndrome. There's no question she has to go. But Stefanik, she's not the answer. Be sure to read more about this story and download my free podcast at toddstearns.com.
Oh, Lord, please let me make it. Please, Lord. Come on, come on.
American Family Association.
Man.
Or American Family Radio.
I missed the show again.
Can't find the time to catch the live shows? No worries.
Wait, what?
You can listen and download all your favorite shows for free.
For free?
That's right, for free. Just visit the podcast page on AFR.net.
Ooh, Lord.
AFR.net.
You're listening to American Family Radio. Here's a thought from Scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hey, should you want to watch us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube. Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues, and we are live video streaming every day. We also post the stories there on our Facebook page that we discuss here so you can have the original sources for yourself of the topics that we talk about. Ray Pritchard, Ed Vitagliano, Fred Jackson, and Tim Wildman, we thank you for listening. Ray, quick question. I'm just throwing this at you. I didn't ruin you. Are there any health benefits to popcorn?
Oh, listen, it's tremendous. It doesn't have popcorn. Does popcorn have any calories? I don't think so.
It has some carbs. I think so. So it'll have some calories.
Yeah, popcorn's good for you. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
We know that. Okay. Right, Fred? Fred, popcorn's good for you.
Popcorn is good for you. Now, I have to say, if there was an ad on TV that said popcorn was good for you, it would be followed by 40 seconds But it might kill you if.
Yes.
Right. Right.
If you put it in a paper bag like Tim does, if you add salt, would you put on a bacon salt?
Well, I think sometimes that's what I you should be asking. Salt. 10:30, you know, we got a popcorn machine out here.
Yes.
That we've talked about before. And it's like, man, it smells so good when you walk within, 20 yards of it. And it's just
I'm just going to tell you, Tim, I'm just going to be honest.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I have not retired.
Oh, the popcorn?
The popcorn?
It's
the popcorn.
Free popcorn. No, hey, I'm just not, kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding.
That's nothing to be ashamed about. That and your health coverage.
My health care, my 25-cent
yeah.
soft drinks. Now, yeah. I would be asking the question, Tim, are there health benefits to that bacon-flavored salt you put on it? I've watched you put that on there.
It's got protein.
You need to ask that question.
You know what? I didn't even know that existed till 2 years ago.
I didn't either till they had it out here by the popcorn machine.
That you could sprinkle bacon flavoring on your popcorn, then you just close the bag and shake it up.
Send some here to Kansas City. I could use some.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, man. We would, except the gas prices are up too high right now.
That's right.
But after it goes back down.
Right.
You know, when the economy starts to boom here under the Biden administration. But it looks like it's going to go kaboom. That's what it looks like.
Well, in that case, he'll just sign us up for a couple more $1 trillion.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Keep those benefits coming.
Keep those checks coming.
All right. We thank you for listening to AFR. Sandy Rios joins us now. Sandy's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association. So she represents our ministry in Washington, D.C., and joins us most Tuesdays this time. Hey, Sandy, how are you?
Hi, Tim. I never realized till today why we get along so well. I really didn't know that we were kindred spirits when it came to popcorn.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm notorious for when we go to the movies, when we used to go to the movies.
Yeah? Remember that?
That would be my dinner. And don't touch my popcorn. Don't
hey,
even
I'm,
ask me
I'm
for
with
any.
You. My wife does not like going to the movies, but my son and daughter-in-law do. So Mimi babysits, we go, and my son's always, hey, why don't we just get a big popcorn and split it? And I'm
the,
like,
you're talking about the $8,
no.
$8 bucket?
Like, well, whatever, no. It's not
whatever
eight, but
it is,
it's
right.
four or five.
Get the big
it's like,
bucket.
No, I don't want to share it.
I don't want to share it.
Yeah, no, not interested. Yeah, yeah. I
get
don't
your,
want to.
Get your own bucket.
So you don't want, well, you know, we got all these little grandkids. It's like a community. It's like a super spreader when we go to the movie.
All those little hands in
oh,
there.
Oh, you got all kind of hands. I don't even know if they're related to me or not by halfway through the movie or not. It's like,
there's just hands.
It's like, where'd my $7 popcorn bucket
but
go?
But you get the free refill.
Yeah, that's you get the free refill. But then you got to miss 2 minutes of the movie.
Well,
so that's the exception for me, too. You bring back a memory. We were in Canada, and Kate's, our granddaughter, was sitting on my lap, and she loved popcorn, and I got a bucket, and that little hand was just constantly, like she'd get one grain, and was like up and down. I could not get in. I couldn't get it because that little hand was just there.
And then they turn the lights on at the movie, and you see where half your popcorn by your feet.
That's right.
That's a great place to smell popcorn, which is just is a beautiful thing. Is
yes.
like a high school basketball game.
Yeah,
something like that.
Oh,
how,
yeah.
When you walk in, you smell that popcorn.
Yeah.
It's popping. It's
if
fresh.
If I could find a cologne that smelled like freshly popped popcorn, I'd buy it. I don't care what it costs.
You'd kiss yourself, right? Because your wife wouldn't.
That's right. I don't care what it would cost.
JJ,
I can smell that all
speaking
the time.
Of flavored popcorn, we got a bag. I didn't know this existed. Of Krispy Kreme donut flavored popcorn.
That's just not right, man.
Oh, wow.
Krispy Kreme. And it's at one of the big box stores that a guy named Sam invented. And it was a bag there. And we saw it. My wife likes Krispy Kreme donuts. She likes popcorn. What a combination.
Wow.
So we got it. And it tastes great. It really does.
Have you tried the chocolate drizzled popcorn?
Now, see, you guys are just, this is just wrong. This is like pineapple on pizza. Okay, come on. Popcorn should be salty, and that's it.
We got Baskin Robbins popcorn time, 31 flavors here, huh?
And Tim, you thought I was just kidding, but I'm not kidding about loving popcorn.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, you said you were notorious.
Right.
That's a big deal.
I'm notorious.
Notorious.
Well, I was asking, are there any health benefits? And then we'll move on to
something important?
The end of America as we know it, Sandy. But before we do that, do you know any health benefits to popcorn?
Yeah, roughage.
Roughage. Roughage?
And don't ask me to explain.
I think somebody looked that up for you. It's just a little bit of fiber, I think, is the only real health benefit.
My doctor never mentioned that at all.
Or it's probably just a better substitute than rather than have, like, chips, potato chips, you know, popcorn would be better for you.
Sure.
Potato chips are good, too, though.
But it's a little bit of roughage. I don't think it's a whole lot of extra fiber.
All right, Sandy.
Move on.
Yeah.
Where were we?
Stop that.
I have no idea. I have no idea where we were.
We weren't anywhere.
Where were we?
Well,
Fred, go ahead.
For the People Act. That's what the Democrats call it.
Oh, yes.
And they want to basically take over elections in this country. Mm-hmm. And
that's so nice of them. They're offering to take that burden off the states.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Joe Biden.
It's not
going to
pass, I don't think. But it's a threat.
I wanted to. I was reading this article, Sandy, from Jerry Pierce, Family Research Council,
mm-hmm.
and this is about H.R. 1, but it could be carried over to the Senate version. H.R. 1 would require citizens being considered for service on independent redistricting commissions to disclose involvement with or financial support of professional, social, political, religious, or community organizations or causes. So in order to sit on this commission, which decides districts, you would have to disclose your religious affiliation or what kind of spiritual religious organizations you support before you could get
okay,
on that
commission. Okay, just to reset for a minute here, what we're talking about is there's something called H.R. 1, which is proposed legislation by the Democrats, otherwise known as?
For the People Act.
These Democrats come up with sound so all American, don't they? So that's what they're trying to get passed, which is basically, bottom line, it's the federal government, the federal takeover of local elections. That's what it is, to federalize it in the name of, in the name of for the people.
Yes.
Now, Sandy, what are the chances of this? You want to mention one or two other dangerous parts of the legislation?
Well, I think the best way to understand it is it codifies all of the bad practices that happened in the 2020 presidential election. You don't have to have signature verification for mail-in ballots. You don't have to have voter ID. This would federalize. It would make all states, like Florida has a really strict voter ID regulation. Well, that'd be, forget it. The federal law will override that, and it's not so important for you to, you know, show who you are. And you can actually vote, because the way the bill is set up, you can vote several times if you really wanted to do that. You could go to different places and vote, because there'll never be a way of checking. You don't have to be a citizen. They don't say that, but you don't have to verify your citizenship at all. It's just very sloppy. The Dropbox thing is, a lot of things are loosened up. The whole regulation system is just loosened up, and they would force all of the states to abide by that federal legislation. It will be a nightmare, and once that happens, honestly, you guys, 2022, when there's some fancying of taking back the Senate and the House by Republicans or conservatives, is a fantasy. If H.R. 1 and S.R. 1 pass, the House
it's not going to pass. I don't think it's going to pass. Do you? They don't have the numbers. The Democrats don't.
They
may have the numbers to pass it in the House of Representatives, and Biden would sign it, but there's nowhere for it to go in the Senate because it takes 60 votes.
Well, I think, Tim, you are sort of assuming that there will be a respect for the rule of law and for regulations or rules that they have in the Senate, and I don't trust that. I don't have that trust. I think if there's any way they can get, because they are breaking down the barriers of rules and regulations and laws everywhere, I don't trust that they will follow any particular rule on this. I think they'll find a way. I don't know how. They'll find a way to pass this on reconciliation, or they'll do away with the filibuster. They can also, you know, vote to do away with the filibuster rule so that it only takes 51 votes.
Sandy Sunshine is back again.
Well, just now think of me as that prophet in the Old Testament that does not give the king false news. Yeah, I tell you the truth.
Okay.
And I think it's very dangerous. I think this is the most important fight of the Biden administration that we need to be engaged in. Because if we lose this, we're going to lose everything. The Equality Act is a done deal. Anything about climate change, oil, gas, pipelines, it's all gone. It'll all be their way. There'll be no resistance if they pass this.
Well, if they pass this, listen, I agree completely with Sandy and Fred and about the dangers of this legislation as Sandy described it. I just don't think it's going to pass because Joe Manchin and Christine Sinema said they're not going to vote for it, as far as I think, and that they've got to have those votes to even get over 50. I'm talking about the Democrats in the House.
Yes, that's true, Tim, but how many times has Joe Manchin said he wasn't going to vote for something? He decries it. He, aw shucks, you know, people of West Virginia, I would never do that, and then he votes for it. So he has a terrible track record. Christine Sinema, to me, is more, we can hang our hat on her more than we can on Joe Manchin, but we'll see. Yeah. They're putting tremendous pressure on her on a lot of these bills, so we'll see how she holds up.
Well,
I have more faith in her than I do in Joe Manchin.
If nothing else, we need to be contacting senators and saying, don't you dare vote for this.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you need, that needs to be an ongoing campaign of pressure.
Yeah, there may be a handful of other Democrat senators that would vote against it. A fellow from Montana, for one,
Tester.
Yeah,
Tester.
And then the other, the astronaut from
Mark Kelly.
Well, now, I don't know why I can remember what all these people do for a profession, but I can remember. Can't remember their names. Anyway, go ahead.
The other danger would be if the Democrats decided to try to nuke the filibuster. In the Senate.
Yeah, but they can't do that either because of Manchin and Sinema.
Well,
they can't even nuke the filibuster, which would help them ruin our country.
To Sandy's point,
mm-hmm.
Everything is lost if those two
collapse.
Oh, I
agree with that. No, I totally agree with that, but I don't think they are. But Sandy.
Well, this is the way the Democrats have framed this bill, is that we cannot... You can't stick to an archaic rule like the filibuster when voting rights are on the line. That's what they're doing with the Equality Act. There's no place for an archaic rule when you're talking about basic civil rights. So they've already started priming the pump to apply pressure to Sinema and Manchin to collapse. Now, of course, none of us knows how they're – but if the filibuster goes – all this stuff that Sandy was talking about becomes a reality.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes, and think of it this way. If you were on the left and you'd been working toward the radical transformation of the United States for a couple of decades, and you could see, we've won the House, we won the Senate, we won the presidency, we're changing everything, we are doing away with the police, we're letting prisoners out, we are putting the nation in debt, we are the radical deconstruction of what was once a great nation. We've come such a long way. And now, if we could just stop the election process so that we can win the elections every time, and pretty soon there won't even be a need for an election, it'll just be an exercise in futility. And everything, all eyes, they know all eyes are on the passage of this bill. I don't think there's anything they wouldn't do to pass it. I don't think there's anything they wouldn't do or offer or threaten Joe Manchin or Christine Sinema. This is not politics and a game. This is serious as death. These are people who are wicked. Well, I don't think there's anything they won't do to get this passed, Tim.
Yeah. Let me just say this. For our listeners particularly in West Virginia, and in Arizona in particular. Montana, too, because Tester's not a lost cause on this either. That is standing up to the Democrat Party and saying, no, we're not going to ramrod stuff through. We're not going to end the filibuster. Certainly not going to change the way voting is done, enforcing a national standard. So I would say call your senators. Manchin, Sinema,
Kelly.
Kelly. Kelly's also not a done deal on this.
Right.
He's like Sinema. So there's some. There are a handful of Democrats who are not going along yet with ramrodding this far left agenda down the throats of the American people. Call them if you live in those states and let them know to stand up and against the far left.
Is this being taken up by the Senate now?
It is this morning before the Senate Rules Committee.
Okay.
Republicans on that committee. And actually, very strange today, Mitch McConnell came into that committee, as did Chuck Schumer, both to make their points. That is highly unusual. And Mitch McConnell being there points to what Sandy is talking about. This is a critical piece of legislation. Republicans say they got about 100 amendments that they're going to debate at this Rules Committee. We'll see where it goes from there. But this is serious stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome, Tim.
Sandy, I want to go back. Let's go back to talking about popcorn. That's what I want to do.
I'm all in favor. Trust me. I am all in favor.
Thanks, Sandy.
Yeah, if they will just put that, an amendment to popcorn, free popcorn, I'm all about the For the People Act.
Yeah, there you go. If they want to federalize popcorn legislation for all of us.
Well, we actually called the popcorn because it's free to the staff. They don't have to pay for it. We actually called it Obamacorn. During the Obama administration. And let me tell you something.
You had Obama phones.
Obama phones, giving free phones out.
Obama corn.
You talk about people suddenly feeling entitled. Yeah. When that popcorn's not ready, people around here go, hey, where's the popcorn? And people, it's human nature.
I know. They rioted
out here.
You can
pass any legislation with a bribe like that.
Yep.
We had 12 of our staff riot.
Yes. No, it was mostly
last week.
It was mostly peaceful protesting.
I smell the smoke. All right. Thanks, Sandy.
Okay. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right.
Yeah, they burned down the journal department.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly peacefully protesting.
Right.
Ray, any thoughts?
Well, you have to give the Democrats credit. And I've thought about this a lot. Joe Biden, at least we can say this much. He's doing what he said he was going to do. The Dems said this. They promised they were going to give the money away. They were going to go for government power. They promised this. So this H.R. 1, this For the People Act, what they're trying to do is create a permanent governing class in America so that the Democrats will stay in power, not just 24, but 28, 32, 36, and the Republicans will win nothing again. I don't know whether it's going to pass or not, but they're only doing, in my mind, what they said they were going to do.
Well, and you know what? Let me bounce off that for just a second, because what we have in America right now, in 2016 and in the Trump administration, we had a man in the White House who did exactly what he said he would do.
Right.
He said he would move the embassy to Jerusalem, all these things he said he would do. He would try to build the wall. He would put pro-life constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. And now you have the Democrats doing exactly what they say they're going to do. So you really do have two very clear, different paths forward in America. If the Trump movement continues, either with him, without him, but with his backing, if you have that pathway forward and you have the Democratic pathway forward or backwards, however you want to characterize it, you at least have two very clearly distinct and mutually exclusive political directions to choose from.
You know, Ed, I'm old enough to remember when people said there's not a dime's worth of difference between the two major parties. Mm. That is not true in 2021.
Right.
There is a huge philosophical difference between, let's say, what President Trump represented and what Joe Biden and his people are doing. We're on opposite ends of the spectrum there.
Hey, is this Cheney going to be out? And if so, who's in?
Well,
y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's the leadership in the Republican Party, and she's number three.
Yeah.
And now there's some.
Elise Stefanik.
Stefanik, yeah.
Isn't she the one being considered to replace?
Yes.
Okay. That's not good. No.
That's not good. You'd rather keep Liz Cheney in?
All right. Let me explain myself before people come through the radio and choke me. It's not a good situation. Here's why. Liz Cheney voted with President Trump and is a conservative like 85% of the time. Okay. She voted to impeach President Trump, which was a big mistake in my opinion. And then subsequent to that, she kept defending her vote because she was being attacked by Trump supporters inside the Republican Party. I'm talking about attacked verbally by her fellow congressman and so forth. This woman who is set to replace her, what's her name?
Elise Stefanik, New York.
I don't know her personally, but she has a 56% voting record of supporting things that President Trump supported. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
So you're trading somebody, Liz Cheney, who's basically a conservative, pretty good on most issues, for somebody who's not in the leadership position. And the reason they're doing this is because she's in a personal spat with Donald Trump.
Yes.
So it's, do you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah. Well,
that's why I say what I said. Go ahead, Ray.
Okay. Hasn't Mr. Trump endorsed Stefanik to replace Liz Cheney?
He has. What happened was Stefanik became a star for the conservative side of the Republican Party during the impeachment process. She was one of the lawyers for the Trump team supporting Donald Trump. What happened is that Liz Cheney cannot, she's a dog with a bone against Donald Trump right now. The other part of the leadership of the Republican Party right now believes they must continue to support the Trump agenda. And they believe that Cheney is interfering with that, that Stefanik will be a cheerleader for the Trump agenda. That's the thinking right now.
Okay, but did you hear the numbers I gave out?
Yes.
Okay. What I'm saying is, and this is my personal opinion, Ray, Ed, and Fred are not responsible for my comments.
Right, so direct your anger towards Tim Wildman.
So if you don't agree with me, that's fine.
But there are people who agree with you.
I am giving you my opinion, this is not thus saith the Lord, okay, anywhere that I'm aware of. This is a personal thing. Donald Trump, former President Trump, can't stand Liz Cheney because she voted to impeach him.
Yes.
She voted with the Democrats, a handful of Republicans, to impeach him. And I understand that feeling. And I think it was a terrible mistake on the part of Liz Cheney. But President Trump is only supporting Stefanik because she defended him against impeachment when, in fact, Liz Cheney is much more in agreement with Donald Trump on politics and policies during his presidency. So that's my point. This is not good for the Republican Party leadership. Go ahead.
Are you saying, Tim, that you would prefer them just leave Liz Cheney alone and let her stay in that position?
No, I'd prefer that Jim Jordan be
okay.
The
conference chair.
The number three person in the Republican Party House, not Stefanik.
Right.
And not Liz Cheney, though.
Not Liz Cheney. Somebody new, I think they feel like they got to have a female in that position, but I just think Jim Jordan has earned the right to be in that role.
I would agree with that.
Congressman,
which you just explained.
From Ohio. And yeah. It's a shame for Liz Cheney because I've liked her over the years for the most part, but she got into this.
She's a little weak on cultural issues.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. So there we go. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.